It's been instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor say aye. All opposed say nay. The motion prevails, and the sergeant-at-arms will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Sarah Campbell from Mayflower United Church of Christ in Minneapolis. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. O God, bless the legislators gathered here, their minds, their hearts, their bodies, how hard they work for the people of Minnesota, for the people they love, in the state they love. Only they know how hard this work is. On this day, in this moment, give them ears to hear what they most need to hear, clearing space from amidst all the chatter. In their weariness, bless them with plans for rest in the not-so-distant future, and with assurance of the value of this, their high calling. In their anxiety about whom to please and whom to favor, may integrity of soul be their first ideal, the source that will ever guide and bless their work. In their disappointment, grant them a measure of serenity. In their happiness, grant them humility and the wisdom of the long view. May they remember that they are one body, and may they have the grace to act kindly. O God, in these changing times, give these leaders a love of the frontiers, where the new will draw its enrichment from the old, always for the sake of the common good, always for the sake of the poor and the powerless. Bless these legislators, their minds, their hearts, their bodies. How hard they work for the people of Minnesota, for the people they love, in this state they love. Amen.
Flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Blessings on your day.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Sanjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. The second order of business is executive and official communication. Members will please make note of them. The fifth order of business is the reports of committee. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda and the addendum be adopted with the exception of reports pertaining to Joint Rule 2.03 on late bills, and that the reports pertaining to appointments.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda and the addenda pertaining to appointments be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? No. The motion prevails. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bill. Senate files 886, 1828, 1560, 753, and 957, second reading. The eighth order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. And they are to be referred as indicated, also taking into account the addendum. The ninth order of business is motions and resolutions printed in the agenda. We will take them all as one motion. All in favor of adopting the motions and resolutions, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senate resolutions number 134 and 135 are referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, I'm about to call for a recess. I want to announce that the majority will caucus in room 107 immediately upon the recess.
Motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Madam President.
All right. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. And members of the Republican caucus will caucus in room 112. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Madam President, I move a recess of the Senate.
On the motion to recess, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The Senate is in recess.
Madam President, I move further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bill, Senate File 1238, be made a special order for immediate consideration.
The first bill and only bill on special orders is number 131 on general orders, Senate File 1238. Senator Metzen.
Thank you, Madam President. This Senate File 1238 is the omnibus liquor bill. We're going to go through the sections here. The first article deals with the cleaning up the recodification of the licensing statutes. All of the stakeholders, the Department of Public Safety, the craft brewers, the League of Minnesota Cities, the Minnesota Beer Wholesalers participated in these technical changes, and it is all agreed upon. Section 1 is Senate File 872. This came to me from Senator Ingebrigtsen, Pappas, and Ortman. It authorizes a micro distillery to sell off-sale 1 3.75 milliliter bottle per day at their location. Some were looking for a little bigger bottle, but the committee compromised on a 3.75. Section 2 and 3 is a DSIC Reinhardt bill. It allows growlers to be sold at off sale on Sundays in small brewers and brew pubs. Section 14 is a House file of Senator Hayden. It authorized Minneapolis to issue an on-sale intoxicating liquor license to the Norway House. Section 5 is, again, another Pappas bill. It allows a micro distillery to be issued to a temporary license for an on-sale intoxicating liquor connection at a social event sponsored by the micro distillery. Section 6 is a Dahl bill. It allows instructional permit to be used as proof of age for person purchasing alcohol. Section 7 is my bill. It allows Sunday on sales to begin at 8 o'clock. Every other day of the week, that's allowed. Section 8, we've got three golf course bills here. Section 8 allows Senator Brown. It authorizes an on-sale intoxicating liquor license for Becker Municipal Golf Course. Section 9 is a Reinhardt bill authorizing on-sale intoxicating liquor license for the Lester Park Golf Course owned by the City of Duluth. Section 10 is a Metzen bill authorizes an on-sale intoxicating liquor license for the Inverwood Golf Course in Inver Grove Heights. Section 11 is a Pappas bill authorizes brew pubs to sell malt liquor exclusively to a single retail licensee for sale at a location at the state fair. Now that's a quick summary of the bill. I understand there's some amendments, which is fine, and we'll stand for the questions that will be asked.
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to offer the A21 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Kent moves to amend Senate file number 1238 as follows. Page 17 after line 12, insert, and this is the A21 amendment.
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. This amendment is an effort to repeal the ban on Sunday sales of alcohol in the state of Minnesota. I know this is a conversation that keeps coming up, and people always look forward to it on a regular basis. I think we've come up with a new approach, and I believe this amendment provides that. One of the things that we have to understand or remind ourselves is that Minnesota is one of only a handful of states left in the United States with such a restrictive blue law ban on alcohol sales. This policy dates back to a time when no one could purchase or even possess alcohol anywhere in the country. And today, there really is no legitimate public policy purpose to banning Sunday alcohol sales. A recent analysis found that Sunday sales of alcohol in Minnesota could generate $10.8 to $15.1 million in new tax revenues annually. And then when it comes to a matter of lost sales to our local businesses, it's estimated that that could be between $81.8 and $114.5 million in new retail sales. Customers in Minnesota are busy families, dual income. They work hard. They do all their errands on the weekends. They spend their Saturdays with kids' activities and soccer games, and they get a lot of their errands done on Sundays. And I hear in my community in Woodbury repeatedly from business owners and from consumers that they are frustrated that sales and tax dollars go across the river to Hudson every single week. So I believe this is time, and that is why I would like to ask for members' support for the A21 amendment.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Peterson.
Madam Chair, I'd like to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate is under call. Senator Peterson, this is for the balance of the bill?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Peterson, are you going to remove? Yeah, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Sergeant will bring in the absent members. Senator Metzen.
Madam President, I oppose the amendment. This bill did not have a hearing at all in the Commerce Committee. So we did the growlers, but we did not pass the language that's in this amendment.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I also oppose this amendment. I see a piece of information from Senator Hoffman from Joint Council 32 Drive. It's the Teamsters. The last paragraph, I think, is important. It says, finally, it's been suggested that the legislature could simply pass an amendment to ban the delivery of alcohol on Sundays. That's what this amendment is doing, to alleviate distributor and Teamster concerns. After consultation with legal counsel and many other experts within the industry, we believe the suggested modification would be preempted under federal law and would likely be immediately challenged. We have suggested to various proposers of this amendment to request an interpretation from the Minnesota Attorney General's office, of which to date we are not aware that any has been have sought. Until we have an opinion from the top attorney of our state, we are forced to oppose this amendment. And along with what Senator Metzen said, we did not hear this in committee. We really need more data on that. The overall bill, all the players came in. This final version here is the piece that everybody felt like they could live with. We all have things that we may want to do or not want to do, but at the end of the day, this was where we're at.
I have a list here. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I stand in support of the amendment. To Senator Metzen and Senator Gazelka's point that this was not heard in committee, I don't serve on that committee, so I can't attest to that myself. But the fact is, this is a very easy-to-understand, simple amendment. There's nothing complicated about it. We understand that the effect of this amendment, if it goes on the bill, would simply be to allow Sunday off-sale of liquor in the state of Minnesota. Nothing complicated about it. Also, I would point out that this issue has been around the legislature for a long time, Madam President, and I believe that people are well aware of the arguments on either side of it. There is no economic justification for this. The fact is that we ought to allow these businesses to be open if they would like to be. They are certainly free not to be open if they choose to go that direction. I do know that there are still some people who try to raise safety or even religious or ethical concerns, but there's plenty of on sale going on in this state on Sunday. You can go to a bar, restaurant, you know, get a drink on a Sunday, and so the idea that there'll be less drinking it doesn't make any sense. This is coming. We see this brought up every single year. It's coming at some point. It seems to me it would be nice to put this behind us and start talking about more important things when, frankly, I can't see any legitimate argument not to support this.
Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to make a couple comments on the amendment as somebody who's worked on this issue for several years and a few sessions now. I do want to clarify, one, that there was a committee request in Commerce, though I will support Chairman Metzen and acknowledge that I did not push for that hearing. We have clearly, I think, to the same comments Senator Thompson made, heard this issue a number of times. We did have a informational hearing in the Minnesota Senate in the last biennium, and members, our composition hasn't changed since then, so I didn't think that there was a need to do that. I really felt that we needed to see what the House was going to do this session, and clearly there is a movement afoot. I would also acknowledge that in the Minnesota Senate, this full repeal has actually passed the Senate Commerce Committee. It did so in the 2011 session here in the Minnesota Senate. You know, the part of the amendment I think that Senator Kent has offered, which really is worth considering here on the floor, is addressing the issue of the deliveries on Sunday. That is one at least some of us have heard many, many times from folks that are stakeholders in this issue and a legitimate issue. I do think a couple points. Number one, this issue was first brought in 2013 from one of those interest groups who said, you know, this is probably going to happen. This is our concern. Is there a way that we can address this? And I then worked with counsel during the interim to find the right language to do that. Unfortunately, that particular organization has stopped having conversations with me, so I don't know where they're at or what their concerns are now. Secondly, I would just add that if we decided to do this today, this bill is certainly going to go to a conference committee. That would give plenty of time for that organization, for the state attorney general to weigh in with their feelings on this. But what I know from a couple years ago is that we at the legislature cannot do have the ability to say when deliveries can be made of alcohol and when they cannot be made. So, and Madam President, if no one has done so yet, I would ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. And I won't, as the members have already pointed out, a number of these issues have been discussed in the past. Senator Reinert pointed out what I would have otherwise, which is the only reason it wasn't heard in committee is because the chairman himself decided that would be the case. While I appreciate Senator Gazelka's affinity for the Teamsters, I would just like to remind the members that oftentimes, you know, we ask members to go, or organizations to go halfway, and I think that's what Senator Kent is really doing here. She's attempting to alleviate some of the concerns. They may not support it 100%, but I think it's a good faith effort to address some of those issues. The one difference in circumstance, I guess I would point out for the members that isn't a tired discussion, is that the bill before you, the underlying bill, actually sets about expanding off sale in the state of Minnesota. I would say that one of the real benefits of the arbitrary, nonsensical ban that we have in place is that it was relatively uniform in nature. It applied to everybody. We had one carve out for on-site wineries or something like that, but it was generally uniform. It wasn't a Frankenstein sort of statute. Everybody could see it. It was straightforward. This bill now moves us in the direction of so many other things we do around here, where those who have an economic interest, who can hire a lobbyist, who are a business owner, you know, the managers of capital, come forward and say, you know, I've invested millions of dollars in my local tap room, and therefore I think that I should get special treatment. So what do we do as members? We say, you know, that's great, and if we just wrap it up in some language about creating jobs, well, by gosh, we got ourselves an exception. And that's really what we do here. And what I would suggest to you is that the guy who just has $6, who scrounged it up from the center console in his vehicle and maybe doesn't have the money to engage in a growler habit, is just as important as anybody else. And same with the businesses who sell those products. Let's do this right for the first time around here, or for one of the rare times around here, and let's make a uniform decision that applies to everybody equally.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President, members. Senator Peterson, it's not that that I've joined the Teamsters. They finally have joined me. So, a couple of things. I don't think people fully get the three-tier system. And, what is the three-tiered system? And it basically divided alcohol into three sections: those that produce it, the wholesalers or distributors, and then the retailers. And that happened after Prohibition, and the reason why they did that is because this wasn't like selling toothpaste. This was a commodity that, you know, could cause harm, was abused, and so they found a way to divide it out to make sure that there was accountability built in. And so over the years, we've gradually changed that, modified that. And that, the last six different times that I've worked on the Commerce Committee and worked on liquor bills, we have gradually changed it and continue to do that. We have brew pubs. We have micro distilleries. We have brewer tap rooms. We have all wineries. We have all kinds of things in the last 10 years that we've added and changed and adapted to. And then we look at that once we've done it, and we say we can do more. We can do more. And so growlers is this year. That's the change. That's where we felt like this is a reasonable step to do. So it's not that we're trying to pick and choose winners and losers. We're trying to carefully make changes to the liquor bills because we know we don't want to make wrong choices with wrong consequences.
Senator Jenkins.
Thank you, Madam President. First, I'd like to say I was not here in 2011 and didn't have the opportunity to vote on this issue then. I have heard the bill in Commerce Committee, as I serve on Commerce Committee, but we have not had the opportunity to hear the differences that are in this particular bill, including the delivery of the item to the stores. And I, for one, would like to hear from those that are affected by a change like that in the committee process before making a decision on that. So I will not be voting in favor of this, but I do understand and realize that there is a concern and a lot of people that really would like this to happen. So I'm willing to hear that and hope that we have a conversation about that in the next session if possible. But I have always voted no on it when I have had the opportunity to, and here's why. My local small liquor stores have concerns and have voiced concerns to me because of the regulations that were put on them during this three-tiered system that was set up. They can only sell items that are deal with liquor. They can't expand any more than that. I think we should take a look at that. I think there are other things within there that we could look at as well. But it will be a burden to them to be open on Sunday and have to look at their margins and be open and pay those operating expenses like salaries and lights and utilities that are different if they're closed for one day. I've also heard some comments about a change in insurance rates if they would have to do that, which I would like to look into, and I'm not as familiar with that. So I will be voting no on this, but understand that the conversation needs to continue, just like we did expand this year and allow the growler sales on Sunday.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. To me, this bill is really a free marketing bill. In the past, I have not supported this bill, and I have changed my mind. But looking at the bill, I noticed that there are things added. In free marketing, we're not saying no and just telling businesses they can't do things, and yet in this bill, Section 4, it does that. So I would move that we would divide this bill between 1.7 and 1.8 and have a vote on both of these. Yeah, the amendment, sorry. Divide the amendment.
Senator Hall, which part of the amendment do you want to take up first?
I would take
sorry,
the first
I'm
part.
Sorry, excuse me. It's Senator Kent's option. Senator Kent, which part of the amendment would you like Senator Hall to take up first?
Madam President, I appreciate Senator Hall's points on this. At this time, if I would prefer that we consider the amendment as a whole.
It appears to be divisible, so we have to vote twice on it then.
All right. In that case, I believe Senator Hall said between 1.7 and 1.8. Yes?
Yes.
Then I would agree with that division.
Do you want to take then above 1.7 first or below?
That side or that side. Okay. Then I would request doing the prior to 1.7 first.
Okay. So the we're voting then on Section 4 of the bill, line 1.3 to 1.7. Is that correct?
Madam
President. It's 1.2 to 1.7. Is there any discussion on the first half of the amendment, line 1.2 to 1.7?
Madam President.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, just to make it clear, I think the first of all, should not be. And secondly, I oppose both parts of what they're promoting here. I oppose both.
Okay. Is there any more discussion on the first half of the amendment? Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Hall. I certainly appreciate your comments. They come from much from the same background of mine. You know, we know that the legislative process is a process of compromise and consideration of interests. And while we have a letter from one of the stakeholder groups saying they're not sure that this addresses their interest, it may. And so I would encourage members to vote yes on this first part of the amendment for two reasons. Number one, it keeps that alive and a part of the discussion. So as this moves forward, we can investigate that and see if it addresses some of those concerns, get an opinion from the Attorney General. But number two, it keeps the amendment whole. To Senator Hall and others who may have similar concerns, which I appreciate, that is always something that we could drop later. So I would encourage folks to vote yes on this part. Let's keep that a part of the conversation. If it disappears here, odds are it's going to come back again. Thank you.
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. I would agree that I would support a yes vote on the first portion of this amendment.
Senator Ortman.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm a little puzzled why we're taking this provision first, but I understand that a lot of folks want to support this provision. It's an easy yes vote because it's current law. There are no deliveries being made to liquor stores because they're not open on Sundays. So I hope members will just vote yes on this and then we'll move on. But if it doesn't pass, I hope we'll continue this conversation and perhaps it can be offered later.
Is there any more discussion on the first half of the amendment, Section 4? Then the Secretary will
Madam
take
President.
I'm sorry. Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President, members, I'm just rising to oppose the whole thing, both the first half and the second half. And, members, this is very similar to our car dealers. Our car dealers are not open on Sunday because they work 6 days a week. They work all day long, and they don't want to work on Sunday. And our Main Street liquor stores are exactly the same. They don't need to work on Sunday. They need a day off. But quite frankly, members, the fact of the matter is that the people that are working in these liquor stores are opposed to opening on Sunday because they're not going to make any money. Because what's going to happen is the people who are going to go to the Walmarts and the Targets who have a liquor store right outside their store are going to then buy their liquor on Sunday from these big box places, and they aren't going to buy it from the small liquor stores. And the small liquor stores are going to end up going out of business. And on top of it, the small liquor stores are going to be opening up on a day when they aren't going to make any money. And so it's going to cost them money to open up. And so this whole thing doesn't make any sense. If you really need a bottle of wine for Sunday, buy it on Saturday. Buy it on Friday. Buy two or three on Friday or Saturday so you're ready for it on Sunday. And really and truly, if you're wasting gas going to Wisconsin, don't go to Wisconsin. Buy it in Minnesota on Saturday night. I mean, it's a pretty easy solution here for people who really think they need to have liquor on Sunday. And if you really, really need liquor on Sunday, just go to a bar and drink it there. So I'm opposed to both of them.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. This isn't like car dealerships at all. Car dealerships are highly regulated when it comes to the financial transactions of buying a car. The banks have to be open. Credit is being considered and reported, and federal law on equal credit opportunities applies. So it's not like that at all, and I think that doesn't belong in this conversation. But more importantly, we're not talking about Sunday liquor sales with this portion of the amendment. This should be an easy yes vote for everybody in this chamber. This amendment currently being considered is about whether we want deliveries of alcohol to liquor stores on Sundays. 67 members should agree that we don't want deliveries of alcohol to liquor stores on Sundays. So please just vote yes, and then we can move on. Thank you.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm wondering if Senator Kent would be willing to yield.
Senator Kent will yield. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Kent, there's a lot of discussion about liquor stores having to be open on Sundays, and it's very confusing for me. I'm wondering if you can tell me anywhere in your amendment, does it say that liquor stores must be open on Sundays if this were to pass?
Madam President, point of order.
Senator Orr, state your point.
Is that to the language that is currently before the body?
It actually is not.
Well, Madam President, then I would ask that all this conversation about liquor stores being open on Sundays and if they are open or not open, let's keep it to the amendment then.
Point well made. Senator Hall, on the amendment.
Madam President, I withdraw my amendment.
The amendment is withdrawn. No. Senator Hall, did you mean you want to withdraw your request for a division of the amendment? Okay, the division request is withdrawn. Now we have in front of us again the A21 amendment as offered by Senator Kent. And next in line, I think it's Senator Miller. You had a question for Senator
Yes,
Kent.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Kent yield?
Senator Kent will yield. Senator Miller.
Senator Kent, there's been a lot of discussion about liquor stores being open on Sundays. I'm wondering, in the language that's in front of us in your amendment, is there anything that requires liquor stores to be open on Sundays?
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Miller, thank you for your question. No, there is nothing in this amendment that would require any liquor stores to be open on Sundays. That would absolutely be up to the choice of the owners and managers based on their priorities, their business interests, their customers' wishes. And there are plenty of industries and businesses that we can point to. There's a famous fast food chain called Chick-fil-A around the country that is, because of their value system, they are closed on Sundays. The place where I get my hair cut is closed on Mondays because they know that their busiest days of the week for their customers are Saturday and Sunday. And if liquor stores are concerned about being open 7 days and they only want to be open on six, they might like to have the option to be open on Saturday and Sunday and use their seventh day on Monday or Tuesday when it's a lower traffic day for their customers.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Senator Kent, for clarifying that. So, Madam President and members, just to be clear, there's nothing in this language that requires liquor stores to be open on Sundays. That is their choice. Members, for those of us that represent border communities, we see it every Sunday. I look at the bridge in Winona, and folks are leaving Minnesota and going to Wisconsin, buying their liquor or beer or whatever their beverage of choice is that they cannot get in Minnesota. On Sundays, they are going into Wisconsin to do that. So this amendment is very straightforward. It simply allows liquor stores the opportunity to be open on Sundays if they choose to be open on Sundays.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. It was suggested earlier that for at least one senator, this was an issue of free markets. And I would argue that if we were truly concerned about free markets in the liquor business, we would be standing here arguing against having liquor licenses at all. Because when you think about it, when we a business has to go to the government asking to sell a certain product that and the government can say yes or no, that is a free market issue. Whether or not we can sell it on Sundays is really not truly the free market issue. But there's a reason why we have liquor licenses. It's because this is a controlled substance. And we have 6 days a week in which we can buy the controlled substance of alcohol in Minnesota. It's worked over several decades, and I would argue that it will continue to work. I will oppose this amendment, and I believe the system we currently have in place in Minnesota has worked very effectively, and it can continue to work effectively.
Senator Metzen.
I would just comment on the Senator Miller's remarks on you have the choice. Of course you have the choice, but if there's seven liquor licenses in your town and six are open, I don't think you have a choice. You're going to want to be open with the other ones. So, you know, I don't think that's a very good, strong argument, Senator Miller.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, members, I just wanted to start by saying that I fully respect the position and the points of principle that everyone holds on this subject, and I suspect that folks know exactly how they're going to vote on this particular issue, and I suspect that they've known for quite some time. And there are fundamental matters of values and principles that cause folks to make different decisions and come to a different place on this subject. But I wanted to stand up for just one moment and give voice to the overwhelming number of my constituents with whom I agree on this subject. And I hear from them in great numbers. And I'm not saying that just to say that I make this decision just based on popular opinion. I happen to hold that same perspective as well. And that is that all the arguments that have been offered are frankly lost on my constituents. And the fact of the matter is that 38 states have come to the same understanding, the same realization. It's no secret, of course, that the reason we have this closure on Sundays was to respond to one particular faith perspective, one particular point of view. We live in a changing world, and we live in a democracy of equality with people with all kinds of different perspectives, faith, values, and beliefs. We also live in a country where everyone is working very hard. Our lives are becoming much, much more complex. And folks just simply don't understand why it is the law that they can't, as they're doing their errands, doing all of their other shopping, taking care of everything else that they have to take care of on a busy weekend, that they can't just simply also perhaps go to a liquor store and pick up what they need for the coming days. A liquor store that, by the way, chooses to be open, is not forced or mandated to do so. It strikes them as patronizing, as overly involved in their lives and the decisions that they can make. It's one of only a couple of different businesses by which we have a law that prevents them from being open, and it makes absolutely no sense. And I have no way of responding to them because the arguments that are put forth can all be remedied fairly easily by individual decisions that businesses can make for themselves. Madam President, members, this is just a simple, straightforward subject. It is a law that was founded in a past era. It's kind of how the industry kind of grew up and, you know, got entrenched and established the way it is. But things change. Our country has changed quite a bit. People's expectations of us change quite a bit over time as well. And it's important to respond to that. It's important to respond to folks who are asking us to do differently and to reflect what they would hope to achieve and accomplish in their own lives. This is, you know, not the say-all, end-all, be-all, but we're an elected representative democracy, and people are expecting us to do something different than respond to the priorities that we might have had 50 or 100 years ago. It just doesn't make any sense to say one particular type of business has to be closed. I mean, I know there are arguments about the nature of alcohol and the like, but you know what? Because folks can buy alcohol on Sunday, it isn't going to change the decisions that people make as adults for themselves. And we have a whole lot of other provisions around the use of alcohol that respond to its unique nature as an intoxicant. Keeping stores closed on Sunday is hardly a manner to address those particular issues. So, members, I would just encourage us to vote in favor of this proposal and just get on with it the way the vast majority of other states have seen to do, the way the vast majority of the folks in Minnesota would want us to.
I do have a list. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President. And I just wanted to respond to Senator Brown's comment about free markets. He indicated that, well, if we were true free marketeers, we would also challenge the issue of licensing for the sale of alcoholic beverages. And I would simply make the distinction, by the way, I'm not a big supporter of the three-tier system. I think there are some things that could be changed, and I would go more in a free market direction. That being said, there is a legitimate public safety issue in licensing alcoholic beverage sales and so on. I would challenge anybody to tell me how it is a public safety issue not to allow liquor stores to be open Sunday. As Senator Miller correctly pointed out, you have people driving a further distance to liquor stores across into a border state to get it. And also, if you really want to drink on Sunday, you can go to a bar or a restaurant here in Minnesota. So we're saying you can't go to a liquor store and buy it and bring it home and drink it. That's not safe. Go to a bar, drink, and drive. So I think that the argument of the safety issue doesn't make any sense, and certainly I think a person can take this position based on a free market approach and still not be opposed to some reasonable regulation of alcohol in other areas.
Senator Westrum.
Madam President, members, I rise to suggest we not adopt this amendment. Senator Brown, I think, eloquently spoke about our liquor regulations in the state of Minnesota. And this is not an ordinary product. We're not talking about paper clips or toothpicks or your average consumption of food. Liquor is a product that, not handled responsibly, can cause great trouble for an individual or their family. And so I think Minnesota has had it right for quite some time. And I might suggest, if we want to pursue what other neighboring states do, let's start with something less controversial or less toxic. Our neighboring states sell fireworks, and we don't even allow that sold Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And so, members, let's start with something a lot easier that's not even allowed to be sold here. And we know everybody leaves our state to get that in order to bring it back, to shoot it off in our state. And so I would suggest we start with that type of an issue before we go down the road of adding one more day just for this product that's already legally sold here. And Minnesota has a strong record of a balanced regulation. And so I'd urge you to consider that.
Senator Osmick.
Thank you, Madam President. And to Senator Westrom's comment, I'd love to amend it to this, but I don't think it's going to be germane. I think it will get ruled out of order. This is a strange day because I'm going to be siding with Senator Dibble and not be siding with Senator Brown. It may be one of the signs of the apocalypse. One of the biggest concerns I have is we can't even get a hearing in the Senate, in committee, to dispel some of the myths that go along with Sunday sales. In the other body, they did have a hearing. They had a very good informational hearing. They didn't move anything forward, but they let both sides present their case. Here's what I heard. I heard the proponents of this say very clearly and present evidence that says sales don't go down, sales go up. Sales are significantly up. Businesses are going to have more business activity. That does one thing that we here in the Senate chamber should be paying attention to, and it's called sales tax. And I know that in the front of the room, we are very sensitive to taxes. However, that means more generated money for us to put into the things we think are right here in the Senate. I, once upon a time, went to Morehead State for 3 years. And Senator Eakin, you live in one of the coldest places in the entire planet, as far as I'm concerned. And I worked at a grocery store. And on Sundays in the early 80s, North Dakota's grocery stores were closed. What happened every Sunday to the grocery store I worked for over in Morehead? We had to increase our staff significantly to be able to handle all the North Dakota cars that are coming across the road or coming across the bridge and coming into Morehead to spend money on a Sunday. Why? Because Sunday is when people spend money. That's why I'm just amazed that we have people that don't think that we should have these facilities open on Sunday or give them the opportunity to. We're saying, hey, 6 days a week, you can sell this product, but on the seventh day, you can't. The people who were against this in the other bodies committee had store owners came up and say, well, you know, we want to spend that with our family. We're very pro-family, and we don't get a chance to spend much or have dinner with our family. Okay, that's great. Except it's rather the height of hypocrisy to say, we will sell you something that can be proven to be something very anti-family, that when it's misused, it can be one of the more damaging products to a family you can ever have. But on the seventh day, we're not going to sell it because we want to have family time. It's just absolutely backwards that we will say you can sell this product, but you can't do it on Sunday. So I urge a green vote. Thank you.
Senator Reinert. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, this is a fascinating discussion and conversation we've had. I wasn't planning on getting up, but I felt compelled to get up and talk about what happens in my district, where I have 100% just about of municipals. And I find it interesting that they have come to me and said, please do not vote for Sunday liquor sales. And it's important because they are working on fixed costs. But the dollars, the profit that are made off the municipals in my district go to projects that benefit their communities and the cities they serve. So you have to remember, members, that these profits are not coming back to the state. They're going into the city. For example, Fairmont, the small community of Fairmont, the municipal funded and paid for all the dredging of the lakes there. So instead of me putting in a bill to do bonding for those lakes in the city paid for it. So think about what exactly our municipal liquor stores, their purpose is to support the communities that they serve. So if we do allow Sunday liquor sales, that only cuts into the bottom line, and I cannot support this.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I too, like Senator Rosen, had not planned to speak in this discussion, but after hearing the conversation, do feel compelled to just make a few remarks. I remember growing up, my family had a chain of women's clothing stores, and it was in the 70s, and I remember my dad coming home and saying that Southdale was going to, for the first time, be open on Sundays. And he said that even though that was going to be very costly for us, that really we didn't have a choice, that Southdale was going to require that all retailers be open during store hours. That was part of their contract. So I stand here in 2015 a little bit just bewildered that we could go from the 1970s to be here in 2015 and still have one product not available for sale, or it's two actually, because we do have cars as well, on all days of the week. So to me, having that law in place says that we are not in keeping with the times. Those of us, and I'm sure everyone here travels around the country and know that every place else you certainly can buy liquor when you want to. But in addition, I think it says that we in state government are playing the role of a values-based conversation, and I don't think that's our role. I think by number one, saying that Sunday is a day different than all others in terms of its relationship to faith is not an appropriate role for the government. In addition, I think for us to say we're going to protect one sector of the economy over the other in terms of favoring one business or industry, in terms of their cost structure, I don't think that's the appropriate role for government. So I have yet to have heard a compelling reason to favor keeping the law as it is.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, I haven't talked with Senator Kent or Senator Reinert or people on the other side of this, and I never spent a lot of time on this issue. I spent a couple of days, the last few days, checking over some of the emails and hearing from people on both sides of it. And I'm actually going to support Senator Kent's amendment, but I want to talk for a minute about the context in which this is all happening. The reason I'm inclined to support this and going to vote for it is because I don't see why it's this product is set aside for that time. I understand our time of day sales and other issues like that. But I do want to say, so I don't see, it's hard for me to make a case why alcohol should be not Sunday but other days. But I also want to say that alcohol is a dangerous, a deadly drug. Pages are handing out two pieces of paper. Most of the constituent emails I've gotten on this have a quote something like, over 60% of Minnesota support Sunday liquor sales. The only poll I could find on the issue I'm raising is one from University of Minnesota in 2002. 81% support an alcohol tax increase for prevention purposes. If you use alcohol taxes to fight against alcohol abuse, to prevent it, to stop youth access, 4 out of 5 of our constituents, I mean, that makes this look like a close call in terms of public opinion, according to those emails we're getting. And I also handed out a piece that talks about, or I'm in the process of handing out a piece that talks about the impact of substance abuse, including alcohol, on state budgets. And this is also outdated information. It's most recent I could get. Columbia University Center for Substance Addiction and Substance Abuse Studies, Columbia University. Nancy Reagan was on the board. Jimmy Carter's Health and Human Services Secretary was in charge of it. They broke down how much states spend, and this is the Minnesota page that I was handing out, how much states spend to clean up. The term of the report was called shoveling up the mess that's caused by alcohol and other drugs. And alcohol, like everything else, it's a drug. It's one of the very few legal recreational drugs people have. But it said that in Minnesota in 2005, about 15% of our state budget was spent on alcohol and other drug abuse and problems caused by it. Domestic violence, fetal alcohol syndrome, everything else. We collect in alcohol taxes that year about $243 million. Actually, I think that was alcohol and tobacco taxes combined. $47 per person. That same year, we spent $549 per person. In other words, about 2% of what we're spending is on treatment, which is so essential, prevention, education related to alcohol and drug use. About 2%, 98% is to clean up the mess. I've had a bill over the years a number of times to increase the alcohol tax and dedicate the funding to treatment, prevention. And I just want to suggest that while I'm willing to support this bill, I really hope that this legislature will seriously talk about this. Again, we're talking about $2.7 billion per year in our state budget, which is heavily hitting on Senator Wieger's budget, heavily hitting on Senator Lori's budget. It's heavily hitting on the crime and public safety budget. Something like two-thirds of the people in our prisons and jails were under the influence of some substance, alcohol in most cases, drugs in other cases, while they committed their crimes for which they're in jail or prison. It seems to me that this doesn't, in some ways, may not directly relate to the issue we're dealing today, but the biggest argument against access, increasing this access, and the one reason I've been hesitant to support this is because when you open stores up more often, more people are going to be coming to them. Neither side, either the folks saying we got to have it or the liquor store owners are going to like an alcohol tax increase. But I think realistically, that's the best policy we ought to be doing. And whether this bill passes this year or not, if it doesn't, it'll probably be back next year. I'd say next year, let's take a look at an alcohol tax, not for general purposes, but alcohol tax to clean up the mess that's caused by alcohol and other drugs. Thank you.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President. I wasn't planning to speak either, but I just wanted to say I'm likely to support the Kent Amendment, but I am troubled with the process. I'm uncomfortable changing an entire industry on the floor of the Senate in an amendment instead of hearing it in committee and having all sides weigh in. I don't have municipals in my district. I have small business owners who are concerned that their sales aren't going to go up. They've polled their customers, and their customers have told them that they won't buy more. They'll just change their buying habits. But I also disagree with Senator Hall that this is a free market decision. I think Senator Bonhoff summed it up very well, that once one opens up, that there's little choice but to compete. And the big boxes do have an advantage over that. Liquor stores knew, large and small, knew that this was a regulated industry. Liquor stores knew and built their business model around these hours. Now, I'm going to support it because I think the consumer has changed and our society has changed, but let's not fool ourselves that this is a free market stand. The free market stand was when they entered the industry, and I wish the liquor stores would have engaged in finding a compromise rather than having to do this on the floor.
Senator Kent, I'm saving you for final comments. Okay, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. I needed to stand again and respond to something that was said by Senator Miller. As a legislator, I have to not only look at the words that are on the bills that we pass, but I have to understand their outcome and what happens because we pass a specific bill. Is it doing what we want it to do? What are we asking it to do? Do we think it'll do that? Is the right thing to do? For my district, I have always talked about to my constituents that we have a regionalization because of state policies in rural Minnesota. And this is very, very important to me to explain. This seems to me and feels to me to be one of those policies. My local liquor stores are on a very, very strict margin because we have other liquor stores that have come in that are corporate and franchised that get volume discounts and get a lower price for their product that my local family-owned businesses have to fight and compete with. So that margin is low already. And now we're going to tell them that because we want to change this, that margin is going to be even lower, and they are the ones that are going to be faced, not the MGM and all the other franchise ones in my district. They're not going to be faced with that decision. My family-owned businesses are, and they're going to have to make the decision. Can I do it? Can I continue to do it? And the answer is probably going to be no. And I, as a legislator representing rural Minnesota, will stand up, whether it's auto industry or I wish I could have had a bill like this to fight for our local stationery stores. We don't have one. Because it's all done through high volume purchasing that those stores can do. So I will fight against this. I will vote against it. If it passes, I understand the position of everyone else. But please try to understand what districts that have these small family-owned businesses are faced with, and what it's leading to. And I'm telling you, it's leading to the regionalization of rural Minnesota, and we have to do something to stop it, and that's why I'm voting no.
Senator Nelson.
Well, thank you, Madam President. We've had quite a discussion here today that might I just add a couple additional thoughts to. Of course, the legislation we're dealing with today is really a holdover from Prohibition. And I want you to think about how our society has changed in the last decades since the 1930s. About that time, John Dillinger was public enemy number one. All right, we've seen a lot of changes. We've seen a lot of changes with technology, how we live our lives, and what we expect. And we're kind of a society that now expects things when we want it, how we want it, and where we want it. That's kind of the era of, I think, having everything at our fingertips right here with the click of a mouse. And so, well, this is a policy that's been around for a long time. I think, as I said, holdover from Prohibition. And I support the policy change in allowing people to purchase products when they choose, to allow businesses to remain open when they choose. In fact, we don't think the government should come in and tell businesses when they should stay open. But on the other hand, should they tell businesses when they cannot be open? And I think that is the genesis here of Senator Kent's amendment. And so while I am troubled, though, by the process, this is a change that we've been talking about for a long time that seemingly Minnesota citizens are very interested in, and I think it is time that our policies reflect the world in which we live in. This would be one example. I am saddened that this important decision did not go through the process. The committee process is a refining process. The committee process is an important process where Minnesotan stakeholders of all views bring their concerns to the Capitol, and so I'm sad that this has been shorted, that we have not had this in the committee. I think we would be better if we had. But I have to say, the policy that this amendment repeals is an antiquated policy. It doesn't really fit Minnesota today.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. As it sounds, a few of the people that walked in this chamber today expected to talk on it, and I did not either, but here I am. Matter of fact, I told Senator Cohen walking in I didn't even care about this issue, but again, we need to vote, we need to make decisions, we have a red and green button in front of us, and we need to decide, and we need to decide based on some philosophical inner being that we might have and what really guides us. And Madam President, members, you know, we talk a lot about consistency among states, legislative consistency. In my case, whether it's Social Security, veterans' pensions, I think Senator Dibble mentioned that 38 other states allow Sunday liquor sales, and maybe it's time for Minnesota to go down that track as well. We often talk as Republicans about government getting in out of the way of business, and here's an opportunity to do that. Let's business decide the direction they individually want to take. I don't think there's anything necessarily bad about that. We proclaim it all the time. We talk about border state competitiveness and taxes, and you will hear, especially our side, harping and harping and harping on that. We have to be more competitive. And Madam President, members, if we're going to be competitive in the area of taxes, liquor policy, yes, it's a ways down the ladder a little bit, but here's a chance for border state competitiveness that we can take care of with a vote today. Also, Madam President, members, I think every one of us, to a person, knows that it's not really if this ever happens, it's when. And whether it's this year or next year or 3 years from now, who knows? But we have an opportunity today, Madam President, make this happen. It might as well, because it's going to happen eventually. Let's cross that bridge and get this issue behind us and move on to, frankly, perhaps more important things.
Okay, Senator Reinert, then Kent, then I think we should be ready to vote. Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. And just a couple comments. First of all, Thank you to the members. I think having been, I guess, a stakeholder in this issue for probably every year I've been here, that this is the most thoughtful, thorough, engaged conversation we've ever had on the topic. And frankly, members, that's probably telling of what we know is going on in the state, and that is that there's clearly momentum, there's clearly energy. We are understanding that, yes, there is one favored position by business owners who like the way the model is right now. And, you know, I think members, if we know anything, we know that people don't like change. But this body has made big changes in other societal institutions in the last several years, and our state has not come apart at the seams. And I think the same would be true here. So I thank you for a really, I think, healthy conversation. This is the conversation, kind of conversation I think Minnesotans like to watch and feel good about, that a body is really bringing up the different viewpoints, the different interests in a respectful, civil way, and countering them. You know, no surprise, I will be supportive, and I feel pretty strongly that in the 21st century, this model just does not work anymore, and it does not serve the consumers, the people, the average citizens who we are sent here to represent. And so I hope we will make that change. And yes, I'm from a border community, and yes, I can take you over any of the three bridges and show you Minnesota license plates in Wisconsin parking lots on a Sunday, and there's only one reason that they're there. But, you know, members, I do also want to address a point that's come up a few times, and I want to defend my chairman and the Commerce Committee, Senator Metzen. He did not have a hearing on this session because I did not ask him to have a hearing. Yes, we put in a bill request because I authored the bill, but I have been very clear all session to anyone that was interested in having the talk that we needed to see something happen over in the House. And clearly something has happened over in the House. But also, members, because we had the hearing. We had the hearing 2 years ago. We had an informational hearing in the Minnesota Senate Commerce Committee. Every member of that committee then is a member of the committee now. We've had that discussion. This is not a complicated issue. We all know what it would do. We all have thought about it. And many of us have changed our minds over the last couple of years because folks have gotten engaged. Not folks that are here in suits and ties or nice-looking business outfits, just regular old folks at home who say, hey, in the year 2015, this just doesn't make any sense anymore. And frankly, for me, once we get past that Sunday is a Christian holiday, and I'm a person of faith, so that is fine with me, and I don't need to make a purchase that day. But once we get past that, there's really no good argument for Sunday versus any other day of the week, and that's a separation of church and state issue that has never sat well with me. It didn't sit well with me when I was a regular old citizen, and it still doesn't sit well with me today. So I would encourage support of the Kent Amendment. As Senator Senjum said, it's not if, it's when. Let's just do this and move forward, set this issue aside, or otherwise I can guarantee you we will be here next year doing this issue. Last year, we had growlers on the floor, and growlers were sort of the end of the world, and we took it off the table. And then over the summer, we realized that okay, we can do this. It didn't violate contracts or open up these clauses. And now we're sort of in the same dynamic here again this year. Let's just do it and move forward and address the other issues we have before us this session. Thank you.
Senator Osmick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to clear up one myth that may have been perpetuated. I requested a hearing for Senate File 58 on January 15th, and I'll bring a receipt for anyone who would like to see it. Thank you.
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. And I want to echo Senator Reinhart's comments about the discussion. It has been a healthy discussion, a very thoughtful discussion, and I think it reflects the variety of communities that each of us represents around the great state of Minnesota, and I think that's so important. I want to address just a few comments and topics that have come up through the discussion. One is this idea that by permitting the sale of growlers that means substantive progress. And I appreciate, you know, that there is an equity issue with the growlers. But in terms of consumers and businesses and their freedoms and options, it doesn't solve that. Because if somebody wants to buy a bottle of champagne as a birthday gift for their mother-in-law, or if somebody needs an ingredient for a dessert recipe that's a liqueur, for example, or if someone would prefer to relax at the end of the day with a glass of Chardonnay instead of a 64-ounce growler, The growler approach does not solve that. So that's why I think this amendment is important in that aspect. When Senator Miller raised the question about whether or not this would require stores to be open on Sundays, an example was brought up that if six of stores open on Sundays, then the seventh would feel obligated to be open. And what I think is important in that is that currently there might be six store owners who want to be open, and now they don't have that option. And so I think it's important that we give business owners that freedom. And finally, I want to reiterate the issue about the sales revenue and the tax revenue for the state of Minnesota. If we had an opportunity in economic development...
Senator Kent, just a minute. Please take any unnecessary conversation off the floor or from members in the retiring room. You just passed the level at which I can't hear anymore. Senator Kent, continue.
Thank you, Madam President. As I was saying, we were talking about the sales revenue and tax revenue. And in terms of the sales revenue, if we knew there was an opportunity to bring, from an economic development standpoint, a company into Minnesota that would give us about $100 million in sales revenue, we would be so excited about what that would mean. Well, that's what we potentially could do by bringing back the sales revenue into Minnesota that is currently going into Wisconsin and Iowa and South Dakota and North Dakota and Canada, because all of those places allow sales on Sundays. And the result of that from a tax revenue perspective is about $13 million. And I think of how many bills I have right now that if I could just get a few million dollars additional funding for those, $13 million is a significant amount of sales tax revenue to come into Minnesota instead of our neighboring states and province. And I know other members feel the same way too. And I just want to wrap up by thinking about a local business owner in Oakdale in my district. His name is Jason, and he opened this business in a small little facility in Oakdale, and it's a really great store that specializes in craft beers. It's called the Four Firkins. And you know, he points out that he pays rent 7 days a week. He pays for the coolers to cool the beer for 7 days a week. But he doesn't get to have those sales all 7 days a week. And he knows that in our community, his customers sometimes end up going to Wisconsin and taking their hard-earned money to buy that product there. So I just want us all to remember that, and I appreciate everybody's thoughtfulness on this attention, and I ask for member support for the A21 amendment. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on the A21 amendment. Members shall vote. We're under call. All members having voted that desire to vote. Absentees.
Everyone not voting has requested to be excused. Secretary will close the roll. I'm sorry. Secretary will close the roll. There being 28 ayes and 35 nays, the amendment is not adopted. It's been called to my attention that someone is videotaping in the chamber. Please do not do that. That's not allowed. I'm not sure who that is. We're back now to the bill. Is there any more discussion on Senate File 1238? Are there any other amendments? An amendment. Seeing no other amendments, then the Secretary will give Senate File 1238 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1238, a bill for an act relating to liquor, recodifying statutes related to certain licensees, regulating the sale and distribution of alcoholic beverages.
Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted that desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 50 ayes and 11 nays, the bill is passed and is There being 51 ayes and 11 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Reports of committees. The Secretary will read the reports.
Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was referred House File Number 283, a bill for an act relating to the military, designating certain lands around Camp Ripley as Sentinel Landscape, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert, and when so amended, the bill do pass. And Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred Senate File Number 888, a bill for an act relating to the operation of state government, providing funding for the legislature, constitutional officers, and other agencies, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert. And when so amended, the bill do pass.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move adoption of the committee report read by the Secretary.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. Secretary will read Senate File 888. Senate File 888 was read for the second time. Seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. House File Number 283 has been read for the second time. Remaining under motions, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate file number 26, number 41 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
This is your bill?
This is my bill, and it now has a fiscal note.
And you've spoken to the Finance Chair?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate file 957 be stricken and on general orders be stricken and referred to the Committee on Finance. This also now has a fiscal note that originally did not. So I've spoken to the Finance, and I need to move it to their committee.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Are there any announcements? Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, Higher Education will be meeting at 2 o'clock in room 112. Members, this will be a brief meeting just to do some confirmations, as I know the E-12 committee is anxious to get started as well.
Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Chamberlain, Fischbach all day, Senator Sharon from 12:15 till the end of session, Senator Goodwin from 12:15 to the end of session. Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President and members, the Environment, Economic Development, and Agricultural Finance Division will meet at 1:45 to mark up the omnibus bill. Hopefully we can get this done swiftly. The playoffs start tonight, and we want to be able to go and watch them. So.
Are there any other announcements? Senator Latz.
Madam President, the Judiciary Division will meet at 1:45.
Any other announcements? Then Senator Bach.
Madam President?
Oh, Senator Wieger. Sorry, Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Madam President. The E-12 Budget Division will continue its morning meeting immediately following the Higher Ed Division meeting in room 112 this afternoon.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, we're going to have session tomorrow, but we've only got a few paperwork items to handle, so if you have a commitment back in your district or something important with your family, don't feel like you need to be here. Just a little bit of paperwork to move to keep all of the omnibus finance bills on track. Madam President, with that, I move the Senate do not adjourn until Friday, April 17, 11 a.m.
On that